The Tango. Probably the most famous tango ever written, and Brian Winter says it remains a favorite of pure dancers. It is La Comparsita, the Little Parade. Brian Winter's love affair with the tango began not long after arriving in Buenos Aires. He had just graduated from college and on a lark decided to head off to Argentina. The year was 2000, and things were kind of rough in Argentina. Today, Brian Winter is foreign editor for USA Today and the author of Long After Midnight at the Niño Bien. And he joins me this afternoon to talk about the tango and his time in Argentina. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Why did you want to go to Argentina? What led you there?
I can't really confess any deep intellectual reason for that. It was a place, as I say in the book, that was attracted me because it was as far away as I could possibly get. Not that I was running from anything in Texas, but I wanted to go someplace where the stars in the sky were different and where I didn't know a whole lot about the people. And you know, when you're 22, you have the luxury of kind of going off on these larks, as you described them, and so off I went. I knew about two people, had about $2,000 worth of savings, and that was about all I had going for me back then.
I mentioned things were a little rough at the time. What was going on in Argentina?
Well, it's a country that's been, as I say, and this will resonate a bit with your audience in particular, it's a little bit like the Chicago Cubs of countries. They're on like a 80-year losing streak. It was a country that, as recently as the 1920s, was considered one of the richest countries in the world, but it's been mostly downhill since then. And even in the long parade of economic crises that they've had in intervening years, the one that I witnessed firsthand during the 4 years I lived there was particularly bad. There was a run on the bank accounts. I personally lost money. And then there was one storied period in late 2001 during which a lot of the action of the book takes place. There were five presidents in 2 weeks, which is just utterly preposterous.
Yeah, and you open the story with supermarket riots.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was difficult to portray in the book because on the one hand, things were always somewhat in control. It's a very civilized country in some respects. I never personally felt afraid, even though a few dozen people did die during the when the riots got really bad. But for the most part, it was a middle class revolution, and It was still a little scary for just a kid from Texas like myself.
Yeah. Well, how did you find your way to the nightclub that gives the book part of its name, the Niño Bien?
Oh, loneliness, basically.
I needed a drink,
and I was very keen to meet some of the gorgeous Argentine women as well. I say quite openly in the book that I'm a man with zero dancing talent and even less ambition. And it was certainly a stretch to imagine that I would ever take up something as theatrical as the tango. But you know, it's amazing what being 5,000 miles away from home will do for you. And I eventually did make my way to the Niño Bien, which is where a lot of the action in the book takes place. It's a fabulous, somewhat decayed tango club in downtown Buenos Aires, where I fell in with a group of lecherous old men who decided to take me under their wing and teach me a thing or two about the tango and maybe a few lessons about life along the way as well.
Yeah, if you're an Argentine, is it necessary to tango? I mean, is it required?
No, not at all. It's a really good question, actually, and one that I wish I'd addressed a little bit more in the book. It's considered. I mean, let's say first of all that this is a 120-year-old dance, which is hugely unusual if you think about it. I mean, you think about what dances are still popular in the U.S., and these things don't have a shelf life of more than 10 or 20 years in most cases. The tango certainly reached its peak in Argentina during the 30s and 40s. It's enjoyed a renaissance in recent years after long decline when other things like rock and roll prevailed. Now it's very thoroughly enjoyed by a small group of Argentines, but I had Argentine friends outside the world of the tango who thought it was hilarious that a Yankee like myself knew how to dance and they didn't.
I mentioned also pure dancers in my introduction. What is it to dance the tango purely?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
What does it mean to be a pure dancer of the tango?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question. I think that someone who dances, a pure dancer is someone who listens to the music and reacts to the music but doesn't think about what they're doing. I had, maybe one or two occasions where a song would finish and it would occur to me that I was unaware of what had just happened. I almost like an out-of-body experience where it occurred to me that maybe I had actually danced fairly well.
Mm.
But that was, that was rare. I think that's even rare for people who dance very well. I think that when you really lose yourself in the atmosphere and the music, I think that's when you can say you've had a pure dance.
Yeah. The denizens of the Niño Bien, are there pure dancers among them?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a very, in addition to the thousands of people in Buenos Aires who dance the tango casually, there is this hardcore group of milongueros, the people of the milonga, which is the what they call the tango clubs down there. These are people who are fanatics. I had a friend named Hugo who was a auto mechanic, and he said that what he'd do is he'd go out at night and dance all night. And then he'd wake up in the morning, go dance some in the afternoon, and then take an evening nap. And he said that sometimes he woke up during the day, and he didn't know whether it was day or night. And then he'd realize it was night, and he was so happy because it meant it was time to go dance the tango.
Hmm.
I mean, there are people who are just absolute fanatics, and a lot of them are chronicled in my book.
Yeah, living the tango. Who created this dance?
Well, that's a very complex question, as you may know from having read the book. There's a lot of debate over this, and one of the nicer reviews of that's run of the book has actually said that it calls it a dance that's reinvented every time, or the history is reinvented every time a few men gather around a table for some drinks, and that's largely true. The closest approximation to a factual answer that can be given is that it was forged from what Buenos Aires was in the 1860s, which was a mix of gauchos and Indians and European immigrants and the remainder of the, and this is one of the more interesting aspects of the history, the remainder of the African descent community that had lived in the city for many decades and has practically vanished in the years since.
Yeah. Well, now you're in Washington, D.C., working as a journalist, and you're married and have a daughter now. Did you woo your wife at all with the tango?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. She's she came along a little bit after the period that's been chronicled that I tried to write about in the book. But, yeah, we have been known to go out and tango badly, I might add, on a few different occasions. Badly me. She has quite a bit of talent herself. But, it's a complicated dance. It's a hugely, almost absurdly complicated dance. And I talk about that a little bit in the book. I think part of the reason is, again, going back to this, the fact that it's been around so long. It's very improvisational. And the fact that people are able to add on to it over the course of the years and are able to give it their own personal flair is part of what's made it so appealing and expressive.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to do it with another person.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, you
say,
know, that, well,
as they say, it does take two to tango.
And we have to wrap up here. Do you have a favorite? Is there something else we could play this afternoon to wrap things up?
There's a song called La Viruta that I believe I mentioned as one of my favorites. It's actually one of the clubs chronicled in the book has that name. The other one that you might consider playing is a song that's discussed at some length in the book called Cambalache, which means junk shop in English.
Mm.
And that's a song that many Argentines describe as their national anthem simply because it so pessimistically reflects where they've been over the last several decades. It starts off, and I'll give the cleaned-up version for your listeners. The song starts, "The world was and always will be a piece of junk," and gets steadily more progressive from there, yeah. Progressively more dark from there.
Well, what does La Viruta mean? And I think we'll play that. And you say it's hard to spend a night dancing in Buenos Aires without hearing this song.
It is, yeah. It's very emblematic of, and to be completely honest with you, it's usually played without lyrics. And as a result, I've drawn a blank on what exactly the word means. It's not a very common one. But the song is very lyrical, very easy to dance to. You'll hear very sort of sharp rhythms marking where the step should clearly be, which, of course, is a helpful guide for people with two left feet like myself.
Mm. Brian, thank you very much for talking with us this
afternoon.
Thank you so much. Brian Winter, author of Long After Midnight at the Niño Bien, Yankees Missteps in Argentina.